This is the Don and Mike Show.
Continuing the theme, great anthems. Here is Hillary Clinton.
A lady.
Yay. You have air in your special place.
Yes, the Don and Mike Show.
It's the BME Award winning Don and Mike Show.
It was an actual tape of Hillary Clinton, like a like the Linda McCartney tape we have.
Turned her microphone up when she didn't know it was on.
Kind of unfair, everybody. Hey, it's the best mix. Everybody can agree on, even your jackass boss.
That's tight.
Tight, baby.
Hold on a second. On every one of these discs, there is one jive-ass song that we will never play.
And this one is...
KCBQ.
Oh, hold on a second. Cut 3, 4. Oh, wrong machine. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
We'll play that Sting one again. That's a 12. Good song. Cut 12.
I moved.
Is there a problem with our hardware?
I think appears... you have to hit stop and then hit 12.
Stop and then 12?
I think so. Hmm.
As you know, right. This is my first time running the equipment, so bear with me.
KCBQ.
No, we would play that one.
We would?
Yeah.
This
is just ridiculous.
Part-time lover. Okay,
and before that stings, if I ever lose my faith.
Rob is trying desperately to find the cut.
Lose my faith.
Well, never mind.
You.
That's the one.
KCBQ.
Never mind.
You know.
No.
Hold on, what are you doing now?
I'm putting it in number 3. Hey.
The number 3 machine?
You know.
You know.
You know number 3.
Number 3.
Yeah.
KCBQ. I'll just be your secret lover. I'll be the one gonna take off your clothes.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon. We're gonna take a shower, both of us. I'll be the best sex you will ever have. I carry a gun everywhere I go. I like rape.
I like it when we get a really jive song.
Oh, God, how did that make it on there?
Wow.
One of Hanson's love songs.
KCBQ.
Okay.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I'll just be your secret lover. Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
It's a long intro here.
I'd be like one of those DJs that like doing a love song show, right. Like a pause all the time.
I'm Glenn Hollis.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC. I would love to make wild, passionate love to you.
I will go till you tell me to stop. I like rape.
Babe, I'm leaving.
He's doing the best DJ work.
It's his catchphrase.
He truly is. It's his signature. Yeah. It's his signature.
So this machine, I'm guessing, has gone the way of Red Buttons died. The Boris people.
Boris Pickett.
Bobby Boris Pickett and
Bobby Boris Pickett and Boris Yeltsin.
Right.
We'll give it another try.
Yep, it's back. Okay, it's back. Sorry for the delay there.
Delay.
Okay, before we get to the rest of the tapes from the baseball game, and also the tape from Robert the Mailman about me losing the bet to him about the Heat and the Bulls, and I think Mike knows what I'm going to talk about here. In an indirect way, I really would like to discuss my son-in-law.
Yeah, all right. I think it'll be very interesting to a lot of people.
I just have some questions
about very interesting
about cell phones and bills.
I'm interested. Yeah. Maybe that would have changed if you had heard from him before the show.
Yeah, maybe it would have.
Right.
But Feist, here's the deal. On Saturday, I think I have finally found, and flaw is a strong word. I don't want to use the word flaw, but a lot of you guys have asked me, you know, boy, Jan seems so wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the
She treats you beautifully, and everybody that sees you together sees how she treats you, and she's bubbly, and she's fun, and she's fun to be around.
Where's the crack in the armor? Where's the chink in the armor?
You know? There's something we're missing.
Right, yeah.
There's something we don't see.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time. And as it turns out, that is truly her flaw.
Oh.
The fact that she has, I say this with love, no respect for time.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the deal. Robbie, when did you call me about going to the game with you and Robert?
Like a week and a half out.
Okay. So, as soon as we know Mike's going to do this thing, Rob calls me and says, hey, you know, it'd be great if we go over together, bring Robert over, his son, mm-hmm. my godson. Right. Yeah. Love him as much as life. Sure, great. Rob says, how about we show up at your house at about 5? Then you can just, we'll all go in one car. Great. I must have said this literally to Janet over the week and a half. 10 times.
You're rendezvousing at 5, and you're going to head down to the stadium at 5 o'clock.
The game is on Saturday. Mike's singing the national anthem. Here are the tickets. Rob and Robert will be here at 5.
Fine.
All day long, I mentioned it to her. At 3:30, I said to her, don't forget, 5 o'clock. She said, okay. She was doing some gardening. Then at 4:15, when I was getting ready to get in the shower, I said, hey, don't forget now, 5 o'clock, Rob and Robert are here. She said, right, I'm going to take a shower. I said, good idea. You'll be right behind me. See you in a minute. I go up. I take the shower. I am done at 4:42. I'm downstairs, and she's still upstairs. I'm not checking on her, I'm assuming.
Right.
You know, when you assume you make an ass out of you and me, I'm assuming that she's doing what she said she was going to do, get cleaned up. Well, in the meantime, Rob has shown up a couple minutes early.
Wow.
Now, this is fine with me because I love Rob, and I love his kid. So they come in and we start horsing around, and little Robert, goes over and turns on my jukebox. Mm-hmm. And the volume on my jukebox is about this loud.
One volume.
Only one volume, and that's all the way cranked. Mm. And he loves this, the fact that the music is playing so
it's loud
that even for Rob and I, even we're going, this is too loud. We're like screaming.
You love it loud, but not that loud.
So,
is there a volume control on it, or
it's
have to go around back? Or
it's a relic jukebox, and one of the things that's broken is the volume control.
So it's maxed out.
It's either all or nothing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I've chosen all rather than nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were goofing around looking at my Batman stuff, which he likes looking at and listening to the jukebox, and all of a sudden, the intercom phone rings. Right, we got an intercom in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick it up, and I go, hello? And it's Janet upstairs, and she says, I have been screaming for you for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I couldn't hear you. We've got Robert was playing with the jukebox.
Right.
What's happening? She said, when are we leaving? I said, hello, 5 o'clock. Click. She hangs up on me. Now, she's hanging up on me on the phone in my own house, from upstairs in my own house, right?
Right. Had to hurry.
So now Rob and Robert are there in the kitchen. They watch me take this phone.
What time is it now?
It's like 5 till 5.
5 till 5. Yeah. All right.
I say to Rob and Robert, and this is kind of embarrassing, give me a moment. I'm gonna go upstairs and see what's going on.
There was a definite tension as soon as that call ended. And you've ever been in this?
Did she hang up in such a way as to say?
It was an FU hang up.
It was an angry
hang up. You looked at the receiver like they do on TV.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You looked at it.
I couldn't believe it. From my standpoint, and this will be my story, I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Because it's the truth. I said, Rob's coming over at 5. We got to leave. Told her all day long. She starts running me some attitude. Hangs up the phone on me. So I say to Rob, give me a moment.
And it was, I would have rather been a couple other places than there right now at that moment. But sure, I said, sure, go ahead.
And
I take Robert back in, and we listen to the ear-splitting jukebox.
Seriously, how long were you guys downstairs?
Probably a good 5 minutes, I would think. Which, again, in that situation, seems like an eternity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because, so you're wondering what's going on.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I go upstairs, and she is, this is a turn-on, get ready with your beach towel club. She's nude.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Yeah!
Yeah!
That's when Robert and I came in.
I walk up into the bathroom area, and she's just getting out of the shower. And I look at her like, I go, what's going on? And she said, I am nowhere near ready to go. Rob told me we're going at 6:15. I said, that doesn't make any sense. I told you today, Rob will be, I've told you every day Rob will be here at 5. I said, God, she said, it was maddening, the back and forth. Yeah. Where she, I said, we are wasting valuable time now discussing this.
Had she spoken to Rob about time?
When I went, let me see. Here's how I went. She hung up on me on the intercom phone. Then I went up to the bedroom, and then she slammed the door when she wanted me to leave her alone. And then when I went back downstairs, because we were going to go to the game, just the three of us,
right?
Me and Robert and Rob, she called again, and she said again, Rob told her 6:15. You know, keeping in mind, forget the fact that I told her just an hour earlier
that it was 5 o'clock.
So Rob's standing right there in my kitchen. And I said, did you ever tell Janet 6:15? He says, nope. And then I hear, click.
Oh, dear.
And I hear from upstairs, another door slam.
Mm-hmm.
An angry door slam.
So she's furious right now.
She's pissed. Mm. So I go back upstairs, and she's so funny because on one hand, she really did realize that she...
was that fault?
She had the incorrect time for whatever
was wrong.
Absolutely and absolutely and absolutely, mm-hmm. All of these things.
Yes.
She was sorry. She was mad. She was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. She said, well, "Should I go with wet hair?" And I said, "We're going to a baseball game. I'll get you a baseball hat."
Right.
And then she said, "I can be ready in 5 minutes."
Okay.
It is 5:12. Mm-hmm. I can be ready at 5:17.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Great." I went downstairs. We put the boys' booster seat in the car.
Get it installed.
I go inside. I go upstairs. She is still naked, no clothes on, no makeup on.
Right.
Still doing her hair. I said, "What are you doing?" She said. She pulls out her little clock. It's not 5:17. On her clock, it's 5:16. I said,
she has 60 seconds to get her clothes on. Did
this really doesn't matter? I said, I can't be late for this. We gotta go. So finally, I was mad. I'm not used to fighting with her.
Right.
I thought I was right. We're having an argument kind of in front of Rob.
Right.
And little Robert, who is like, as soon as we get in the car, Robert says, where's Janet? You know, first thing he says.
Right. Had you had any inkling that this happens occasionally? You said she she has trouble with time.
Well, like when we were late for my... sister-in-law's dinner.
Oh, right.
Yeah, mentioned that.
Yep.
And even if she will say to me, and I'm not ball-busting here, if she'll say to me, if it's like 10:30 in the morning, say, I got to go run some errands today. I got to go by my office, run some errands. And I normally leave for work about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She'll say, I just got to go run a couple of quick errands. I'll be back before you go to work.
Right.
I always laugh.
Yeah.
I always laugh like, pfft.
Because she's not.
Never.
Because you can't. Because... she ends up getting sidetracked.
I mean, there are a lot of people that have trouble with time and punctuality and that type of thing.
So this is then where she gets the last laugh, right? So we're on the way to the ball game.
Because
at this point, I've gone upstairs and I've said...
How did that happen where you finally said, what did you finally say, that's it, we're going?
Yeah, I said, she said, what do you want me to do? And I said, I don't know. She said, leave a ticket and I'll figure it out myself.
Right.
And I said, you know, all right, baby, whatever. So we get in the car, we're driving along. And when we got, I don't know, what's the amount of brave time you need when you're having a fight? I guess we were, 15 minutes away?
That's about right.
Yeah, take about 15 minutes, I call, expecting that the fight will continue, and there's no answer at home.
Oh.
So I go, I call her cell, and she picks up, and, like, no trace of a fight. Very happy. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, sweetie. I said, where are you? She said, I'm in a car with a very nice man. And I said,
wow, she really was mad.
I said, what's going on? She said, I'm taking a cab. And I said, you're taking a cab from our house to RFK Stadium? How much is that going to cost? And then she said, I'm paying for it with my money. Because she, you know, she's got her own job and everything else. Right.
So when you had left, it was the cab discussed when you left? Or was it when you left, did you both leave angry? Just stay here. Forget it. We're going.
It was left to her. She could arrive if she wanted to. Mm-hmm. But at this point, she was leaving so incredibly late. You know, I thought by the time she got there, we'd be ready to leave.
Mm-hmm. When we left, she was saying metro. She was going to take the metro.
Yeah.
And we had determined that was an impossibility because it's an hour and 10 minutes.
Drive a car to the subway.
Yes, the Washington, D.C. metro, not the fastest thing in the world.
No, very leisurely.
Not like you have an express train that's going to take you right to the ball yard.
So what happened was, yeah, Mike, to answer your question, this kind of exploded where finally I said, you know, listen, that's it. I hate this. I hate this happening. I hate arguing. Listen, she's like, I'm sorry this happened. I hate arguing too. I'm sorry that I felt you told me. I guess I didn't hear you. I said, I got to go. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. We get in the car. She says she's in a cab. I look at Rob. And it's just the three of us in the car, just the boys in the car. Right. And I put my hand over the phone, and I go, she is in an effing cab. God, my God, Rob.
So now she's effectively following you down to the game.
No, I'm positive that this is her undoing because it's going to be certainly not cost prohibitive. It's going to be very expensive.
Yes.
And then she says, the driver needs directions because the dispatcher can't tell him how to get to the stadium.
Uh-oh. Chungo.
So I,
Chungo!
Again, with my hand half over the phone, I go to Rob. I go, she doesn't even know the Christing directions. The driver doesn't know the Christing directions.
Christing.
So I give the phone to Rob. And I say, here, Rob will give you the directions the Nationals sent us. Because it's like anything else when you've lived somewhere for a long time. I know how to get to RFK Stadium.
But couldn't.
I know the shortcuts. Right. I don't know how to tell you how to do it.
Right. Yeah.
I know to say you got to go down by this point and turn here and get on this road.
Suffice to say, at that particular stadium, it is not at all beyond the realm of possibility that you can get yourself horribly lost.
Oh, so we left my home at 5:20, mm-hmm. 20 minutes late, and we were not driving, stuntman driving, but... We were driving the speed limit.
Right.
Moving along. So I had the boy in the car with me, mm-hmm. but we were doing the speed limit. And this thing with Janet is happening. Sure. And we got to the stadium, and we parked the car in the fancy parking spot they gave us. And we went to the Diamond Club. We were supposed to meet Mike.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I see from out of the corner of my eye, Janet.
Had just shaken hands with you and Rob. We had just made contact when... She comes walking up.
Not only did she beat us there, she found the place that we were supposed to be.
She walked up calmly, smiling.
She already had the little blue wrist tag that indicates you can have a free hot dog or whatever.
Mm-hmm, right.
And she says to me, I've already had a drink. Do you want me to get you a drink? And she's happy and smiling like just an hour ago. We weren't screaming at each other.
I had
idea. Like Bart and Homer Simpson.
I looked at her and I had no idea and said, well, I just took a cab. And I said, a cab? And everybody kind of said, we'll tell you later.
I looked at Rob and I said, you show me that cab driver. In my experience,
that's amazing.
My lifetime of taking cab rides, and I do constantly.
For fun.
I have never seen a cab move that fast.
Well, I used to take the train from New York and take a lot of cab rides home. I never had a fast cab ride home, ever. It never existed. I mean, it's terrible.
She pulled like a David Blaine thing on her. I still don't know how it happened.
She teleported her way over there.
Like a copter or something.
Wow. And she seemed in very good spirits and then seemed in good spirits throughout the rest of the game.
We were getting on 395 by the Jefferson Memorial when they called for directions. And I have no idea how this happened.
So at that point, we are maybe 15 minutes away from the stadium.
Right.
Yeah. When they're calling, and they've left much later than we have, and she's got some guy, the King of Siam, driving her car who doesn't know where they're going.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, she beat us there.
Wow.
And then it was the whole awkward thing that she's there and there are people around, and I'm like, I didn't even think that you were coming to this thing tonight. She's like, I told you I would make it here. And I'm like, Are we still fighting? She's like,
you were very pleased. The only thing I heard is that you were extremely pleased, and you said something to that effect, something unique. I forgot exactly what it was, but you said something to the effect when she arrived, like, you know, you're the greatest or something like that, that she was able to do
I told her she's awesome.
Because you're very pleased. So
that
diffused a lot of the fight.
That's an overused word, mm-hmm. but I mean, I looked at her and I said, God damn. You are awesome. How did you get her? Forget the fact that, like, an hour ago, I was hating your guts because you're late.
Yeah. Well, the thing is...
How did you get here so fast?
So she When you say she has trouble with that, she somehow created in her mind that she had to leave at 6:15.
I don't know. But because, like I said, it's a week and a half of me pounding into her head every day.
5 o'clock, five o'clock. Leaving at 5 o'clock.
Even set out the tickets the day before so that she would see the game start. That was part of my irrational speak with her when she was up in the bathroom naked.
Right.
I said, wait, hold on. The tickets say game at 7:05.
Right.
If you think logically you leave at 6:15 for a 7:05 game, what planet are you from?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And she's looking at me going, I can't leave with wet hair.
Yeah.
And then she said, I wouldn't have planted all those tomatoes today if I knew that we were leaving at 5 o'clock.
I still don't know where she got 6:15. If Rob didn't say it, it sounds 6:15 is an ideal time to arrive to hear Mike sing the national anthem.
Well, 6:15, you're not guaranteed you're going to make it for game time.
No, I mean, that's a good time to arrive at the stadium.
Yeah, 6:15 would be a good time. I was supposed to be there at 5 o'clock to get there for a sound check.
Uh-huh. Sound check, buddy.
And I was late. I made it there at 5:35.
Tell them why I had to turn around and go home.
I forgot my Xanax.
Oh, well. That's
and I don't take it anymore, really, to any degree, but I had
special.
It with me.
That's right.
I haven't taken one in months. Yeah. I mean, months. And but as I said to Carl, I said, you know what? This is a difficult experience. It's going to be a little bit more difficult, but I don't have my little two friends in my pocket just to get me by. Right. And so we turned around and walked in at 5:35.
Ironically, you wouldn't have needed the Xanax if you had remembered it.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
listen,
true.
What can I say? Like, I, you know, again, that's a test of the.
Actually, I didn't need it, Rob, because I mean, I want to make it real clear. I didn't take any.
Okay.
I mean, I just had it in my pocket, and so because
just in case,
security. Just in case, I'm getting that kind of feeling, you know, before the game.
Security.
And I didn't use it. It's just it's good. My little security blanket. I think I'm not alone in that. That people carry those things with them a little bit, and that's what I use it for.
They're
now.
They're the modern day airline bottle.
That's exactly what it is.
They're an
I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to. You know, I didn't want to screw anything up. I was paranoid. I was totally paranoid.
Sure.
So I was, but I was late too. And being late, I want to apologize to Carl and my kids in the car because being late with me is just, oh my God. Well, we're both that way. I mean, you say you're going to be somewhere. Right. Oh God.
And part of what Janet was hearing was I said, don't you remember last year when Mike sang at the minor league game? She's like, what? I said, Rob was. Late.
Yeah.
Rob had the tape recorder. Mm-hmm. Rob was late. I said, now, if Rob is late this year, it will not be Rob's fault. It will be my fault. And it will not be my fault. It will be your fault. She's going, I can't go with wet hair.
Yeah.
But then amazingly, she pulled it together.
She didn't. She looked totally pulled together when she arrived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pulled it together.
Wonderful.
And then sometime during the fourth inning, leaned over and said the words that I had been waiting all night to hear. Hey. I said, yeah. Just invited Buzz and Marcia to come over tomorrow for brunch. Super.
You did a lot of socializing with the crew over the weekend.
I like Buzz and Marcia. We spent a long time with them. You know, Buzz is quite the gardener. He got his,
You bet he is. He's got, and he does most of his gardening indoors, doesn't he?
Besides his weed, he does grow big. Gigantic tomatoes.
Brings him in for all of us. I love his tomatoes.
Almost time to put that in, but yesterday it was all about trimming bush. So that's what I did.
That'll while away the hours.
Yes, it will.
You remember way back, at one point, Buzz and Marcia were house-sitting for me, and they took it upon themselves, remember, to trim my bushes.
Oh, yes.
Which I took great offense at.
I remember that. You were not happy about that.
But now he was welcome to come over and give his input on what we should do with the state of affairs. So anyway, they break off. It always happens like this, right? Mm-hmm. They break off. We break off.
Guys and girls.
So they're in the other room, just blah, 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 blah. Incidentally, you left your now cigarettes, Buzz.
Yes, I realized that after I left, but I decided it would be unclassy to return for them.
Now.
Nearly a full pack.
As in right now.
That's right.
I kept them. You never know where they're going to come in handy.
That's right.
If I want to look cool.
In case of fire, break glass.
So they had been over about 2 hours, and I like spending time with Buzz more than just about anybody. And we talk about all things.
Yeah, we did.
Politics, God, radio, women, everything.
Yeah.
And when we both got to the point, like after 2 hours yesterday, Buzz said, well, looks to me like your garden is all set, and God, I'll go see what the girls are doing.
Right.
So he goes out, and they were in some type of verbal lip lock that he could not break. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when women are talking, mm-hmm.
they were on a
just
roll.
So he comes back in and he says, well, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, then, Buzz, we've reached the point.
Yes.
I've known you long enough. I can say this honestly to you. I love you. I'm out of topics. Mm-hmm. Get used to this. You're watching basketball with me.
Wow.
And I put on the Bulls Heat game.
Right.
And what a gamer he is, Buzz Burbank.
Sat there through the whole game?
Oh, love it. God help me.
Saying stuff to me like, hey, the Bulls are really coming back. Because to help Buzz out, like during the commercials, I would.
You were explaining the rules?
No, I would flip around to other channels.
Right.
Because I knew he wasn't interested in the basketball game.
I appreciated that. Thank you.
Right. Mom. Did you see anything? Did you come across anything that interested you?
What was the movie we came across? Oh, well, Kindergarten Cop. We had to stay for a little Kindergarten Cop.
So at one point, it's like Bulls are up 12-9. Uh-huh. They go to commercial. We come back, and it's 12-12.
Right.
Buzz says to me, like Joe sports fan, hey, looks like they tied it up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at him wearing his dark socks and his surf clogs.
That 12-12 on the screen, on the TV screen, would indicate that they had tied it,
yeah.
I would think.
Buzz, were you surprised that they had replaced the peach baskets with a ring with a net on it?
It's a nice look. I don't know if it'll catch on.
Buzz
but
was a big fan back in the Dr. Naismith days.
God bless him for trying.
But you're a nice guy. It's always nice to have you and Marsh over.
Thank you, yes.
And I'm sick of all of you now.
Understood.
Really, I wish that we had like another 8-week vacation here.
Because it's too much. It's no break.
Yeah.
You saw all of us over the weekend.
Hi.
Right.
It's just too much.
We're back.
It's way, way, way too much.
Right. The only thing that's even saves remotely all the emotional scarring this weekend is that Rob's kid is the cutest. He cannot, when he says spider, and he says it a lot because he likes Spider-Man, he says Piter-Man.
Piter-Man.
And he says, Uncle Don, look at those piters. Uncle Don, do you think that Piter-Man could
Piter-Man.
Do this? Piter-Man.
Now, how old is he now, Rob?
He is 4.
4 years old.
Cool. 4 years
five
old.
In September.
And the discussions that we have. Uncle Don, who would win a race, Superman or Flash?
Yep.
Uncle Don, do you know who's in the Justice League? Uncle Don, do you read Teen Titans? Uncle Don, do you like Piter-Man? Are you going to go see Piter-Man 3? The Piters. I mean, your kid is so
Spider-Man.
Cute. He is really a beautiful child.
I was
cracking
so,
my ass up.
So proud of him that night because that's a lot to ask of any 4-year-old to go to a ball game. That's a
I
long
could
night.
Not believe yeah. how he hung in there.
He was so good. And on the ride home, he told Janet all about lightsabers forever.
Oh, yeah. Now, listen to this. This is where the real Rob in him comes out. Janet is saying to him, you know, like you talk to a little kid.
Right.
So, Robert, you like Star Wars? He starts saying, I can't duplicate it. What he does is he explains that the way that they came out is not really the way that they're looked at by George Lucas. He
calls them episode 4, episode 5, episode 6.
And he says, but when that one came out, like our generic comment was, yeah, we like the one with the cantina bar. Little Robert says, well, that's not the first Star Wars. That's really episode number four.
So he knows all of them.
He does.
Wow.
It's amazing. And he'll tell you the color of every character's lightsaber. Yeah. And he told me something I didn't know. He said that Boba Fett has a father. Django Fett. I said, no kidding.
Is Star Wars his big thing?
Oh, he loves it. He goes back great. To it. He strays around. But Star
that's
Wars,
vintage that's, stuff. That's good.
It's like his core. I don't know where he gets that.
The one thing he did at the game that was just hilarious, unintentional on his part. We were trying to really watch the game.
Right.
And I was explaining to Robert, watch the guy throw. He's going to try to hit the ball. The Mets had on their black jerseys. The Nationals had on white jerseys. So I was explaining to him, we want the guy in the white jersey to hit the ball. And he said, Uncle Don, we don't like the black.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Where'd he get that?
He said it real loud.
Oh, dear.
And I said, Robert, we don't like the black shirts.
Right.
He said, that's right. We don't like the black shirts.
Much better. Good work.
And it was that thing where if you indulged him and laughed and knew that if he knew, even if he didn't understand it,
yes.
If he knew it was
funny. It would
go
on and on and on.
Forever.
So we had to shut it right down.
Kill it. Yeah. I didn't see that going on during the game.
I think he hung in there. We stayed till like the middle of the sixth, right?
Yeah, we all left at about the sixth inning.
And he stayed in a good humor until I almost got him home. Then it was, you know, Goodnight Nurse.
Oh, really?
He was great.
Yeah, he was great all the way through. That's late. That's a late night for a kid.
Proud of myself.
I stayed till the 12th inning, and I wanted to, you know, when it kicked into the 12th inning, I wanted to stay longer, but everybody else wanted to leave, so I acquiesced and went.
So you were the one that wanted to stay. Baseball buzz.
Basketball buzz.
It was a good
baseball
game.
And basketball buzz. It was a good game.
It was fun.
Shame they lost in the extra inning.
Yeah.
What did you like best about the baseball game, Buzz?
It was a nice night.
Nice to be outdoors.
It was.
Hi, Yanni. Good
to did be you like your house. Nap the best?
The one
that you took between 9 and 10?
Oh,
he laid out 5 seats and laid down at one point. I turn around, I'm like, are we boring you, Buzz?
Oh, it's not unusual.
Wait a minute. He laid down in the stadium?
No, we had...
I've never seen that in my life of going to games.
We had a skybox, and we had nice padded chairs, and there were like 5 in a row that were empty. So although I did not sleep, I did, in fact, lay down for a while, and I've been known to recline here and there.
God.
I may do it again here today.
Wow.
Thank you for that, John.
That was pretty good that he laid
down.
Yeah,
I did lay down.
Excuse me, I'm just going to lay down.
Did you have a few adult beverages during the game?
A couple beers, I think.
A couple beers?
Nothing significant.
Mm-hmm. I'm nice.
Nothing significant.
Right. He's not like Three Beer Mike.
Right.
Do we have any tape of Three Beer Mike?
We have several good things.
Yeah. When Mike came back from singing the national anthem, he drank.
I wanted one thing.
Yeah, and you drank three beers about as fast as a human being.
Fast as they could get them to me.
They
couldn't get them to me that quick.
It was glug, glug, and then right to brain halfway through the second one.
Second one, you're right. About halfway through the second one, it was just, you know, unusual for me. Because Mr. Liver and Mr. Brain, you know, have kind of an understanding that takes a lot. And no, for whatever reason, it must have been the stress of the evening.
Desire.
One and a half beers, I was feeling fine.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, when we come back, let me see. I see the tape now. We do have a tape of... Mike after three beers.
Oh, good.
The lovely lady in the stands.
Oh, I remember her.
Is that the lady that was down in front of you?
Yeah. Four rows.
Or the young ones that came in that the somehow ones, you insulted.
You know what that was? That was a kick save and a beauty.
I didn't see. I'm in back of you, and I didn't know what was going on.
Here's the thing. They start playing in the stadium. Isn't she lovely? And we have these four Lindsay Lohans in front of us. And they're dancing, and they're just showing enough butt crack that they're really not attractive. And right away, Rob says something like, hey, isn't she lovely? And I say, God, she's totally lovely. We're surrounded by beautiful women. And she turns around, and she says, excuse me?
Yeah, I saw her get into it with you.
Did you say something to me?
She was ready to go, too.
And I said, yes, my friend and I were saying, how lovely you are, and how lucky we are to be sitting here behind such beautiful women when, pardon my French, there are so many ugly women in rows around us. Uh-huh. And I pointed out one big, fat, ugly woman that was like two rows away, uh-huh. and they all turned and looked and laughed.
Yeah. So we won them over. Kick saving a beauty.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just
I had no idea that, because for a second, I mean, I'm seeing all this without hearing the audio. I'm just looking at you, and it looked like there was going to be some altercation.
No, they caught us.
You immediately got your guilty face on, which I know so well. And I know it well. I mean, he's got his guilty face on. There's something's going on. He said something, and then you turned around and you were completely relaxed after that. So
saved
it.
The other great thing, I don't know if you caught this or not, was when the ushers kept trying to kick Dennis out.
Yeah, that's right.
We have some of that on tape.
When Dennis Murphy came down to our section, well, first off, he scared everybody.
Yeah, sure.
You can understand that.
Always.
And he insisted on standing right in front of people so they couldn't see the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the ushers kept saying, mm-hmm. you got to move.
Yeah.
And he was doing that, okay.
Then he came back later and sat right in back of me and Carla. Yeah. And it was nice enough to give Carla the CDs of his...
Oh.
One hand, one heart, and his Christmas CD.
Oh, that is nice.
Which is great when I've got my kids sitting there, and there's nothing I want my kids to see more than Dennis Murphy sprawled out in a chair in his briefs.
Yeah.
That was delightful. I'm like, hide that.
Oh, that is on the cover of his CD.
Right.
Julia remembers when you sang, my daughter remembers when you sang very well at the Nationals, at the Potomac Nationals game, and she asked me on Sunday if we saw the gentleman with one hand. I said
forever.
He was there.
Forever remembered.
He was there.
All right, well, that's a
gentleman.
Let's hit this break. Come back. We will hear the tapes from the baseball game.
Very good.
Everybody in the stands. Do want to play you the message from Robert the Mailman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about your bet. That didn't take long, did it?
And he's a gracious winner,
oh,
Robert the Mailman, much like I am.
I bet he is.
Very gracious winner.
I look
winner.
Forward to hearing it.
Oh,
and then there's the whole sack. Let me just make sure he hasn't called.
Any new messages?
Let's see. Look at that.
No messages?
4:21 p.m. and no missed calls.
Huh. I think you might have to talk about it.
I just need help from our audience understanding how you could.
I think our audience is going to be able to help you with this
dilemma. Oh, yeah.
I think the theories will be coming fast and furious.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we're real, you know, you brought it up with us, and we're all kind of confused.
I know we're being clandestine about this. We will answer this in a moment. I'll just tell you, if you want an incentive to listen when we come back for commercials, the answer to all of this with my son-in-law, I do believe, involves porn. That's like the end answer to everything.
Sure seems like that to all of us.
To everything that we are kind of dancing around
God
here.
Bless him.
But
man.
Then again, I sit over here every day with a copy of Buttman right next to me.
Right. Well, God bless him, Buzz. You ain't paying for his phone.
Oh, okay. I see.
See what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And maybe we can play the guessing game, too. Because Buzz doesn't know the number yet.
Oh, no. The Price is Right?
Yeah. Let's play The Price is Right with Buzz.
Okay. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.